Lord, we do thank you that we can come together today and study your word. And thank you, Lord, for a nice building. It's air conditioned, a place we can meet together in really relative comfort, not worry about persecution or other problems. And Lord, you have blessed us abundantly, and we thank you for it. We do pray for these special needs that I mentioned this morning. Lord, ask you to bless now as we look at your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week, you had a homework assignment. The day of reckoning has come. Your homework was to read the Word of God every day and to try to discern the truth that was stated in Scripture, figure out the principle, may be the same as the truth, may not be, and then finally find a personal application. Well, some of you are really embarrassed. How many of you made an attempt? You made an attempt, at least. Good. Hold it up good and high. Oh, that's so much more encouraging than two last week. Very good. Now, I know probably many of you already read God's Word every day, but you have maybe not followed this practice. Did you find any differences in the effectiveness of your devotions when you tried to find the truth, the principle, and the personal application? What did you find was different? Yes, ma'am. Slows you down. All of us would admit that sometimes in our Bible reading, we are reading to read and not reading to change. It's a big difference, by the way. Reading to read is so I don't feel guilty. Reading to change is the way you ought to do it. What else? Good. You slowed down. Yes, sir. Good. Anybody else? It sticks with you longer. And to be honest with you, this to me is probably the main thing about it. Because every believer has had a time when you've read the Bible in the morning, and 1 hour later you said... Now, how effective is that? It's interesting in my devotions this morning, I'm just starting the book of Joshua, and reading the book of Joshua, I came to a very familiar verse, Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Now, for that to happen, first of all, you've got to do what? Well, you've got to read it. But he goes on and he said, it's not going to depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt, what's the next word? Meditate therein day and night. Now, again, I think this is for many of us where we drop the ball. We may read it, but if you don't remember it, how can you meditate on it? And if you don't meditate on it, how's it going to change you? See, again, we read the Word of God, folks, so that it will change us to make us more like Christ. Not so we can get to the end of the year and said, hallelujah, brethren, I read through the Bible this year. That's not the reason. We read the Bible so it will conform us to the image of Christ. The Spirit of God takes the Word of God to make us like the Son of God. We'll see more of that in our lesson today. Now, in Joshua 1:8, that passage goes on, and he says, if you do that, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. How many want to be successful as a Christian? Raise your hand. You want to be successful as a Christian. Now, we would all like the success, wouldn't we? There's a price to pay. There's a way to be successful. It is this whole thing we're talking about in the last month. Read the Word of God, find the truth, find the principle, apply it to your life. That's the path to success. And I'll just be honest, as I've said the last several weeks, we're real concerned about reading the Bible, and that's where it starts. You've got to start there. But that's not enough. That's not enough. If you want to be what you should be as a believer, you've got to learn to find truth, to realize what the principle is, whether you do it like I'm saying or not, but in the end, you've got to be able to apply it. I know this week I read in, I was finishing Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy 32:4. In fact, I used in the message Wednesday night about the fact that God is a rock. And I read the next day, it says, their rock is not like our rock. The world's rock is not like our rock. Isn't that great? I mean, there's some great truth there. And think of the song, this deep theological song, Our God is a Rock. Those truths, and I read that, I guess, probably Wednesday. I still remember it. Isn't that amazing? Why? Because there was a time of application and writing things down, and that's what we need, folks. Now, as we come to Colossians, I know some of you are visiting with us. I want to review very quickly. But we're studying a prayer that Paul prayed for the church at Colossae. And he starts out that prayer in verse 9 by saying that I'm praying and desiring that you might be filled with what? Filled with what? The knowledge of God. To know God. He said, that is my desire for you, to have knowledge. But again, he goes on, he says, knowledge is not enough. He goes on in that verse and he says, not only have knowledge, but you need to have it with wisdom. There's finding the principle. And spiritual understanding, that's the application. Now, when you study God's word that way, and you get in, and you read it, and you find the truth for that day, and the principle, and the application, there are five great benefits that will occur in your life. We've already covered a couple of these. Let's review them very quickly. We're looking in verse 10. First thing that's going to happen, if you find truth and properly apply it, it says that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. What's going to happen if you follow this path of reading, knowing, applying the Word of God? You know, this is so logical. Now look, this is God's will, right? Okay? Now, if you find out what God's will is and you do it, then it only stands to reason you're going to please God. You know, this is not rocket science here. You get in it, you read it, and he says, look, the first benefit is you're going to please God. You are going to walk worthy of the Lord. Now, we've spent a lot of time in that. I don't want to spend much more. Let's review last week. And he said, not only will you walk worthy of the Lord, but you will be fruitful in every good work. Now look, the normal thing for a tree, if you have apple trees and they're not producing apples, what do? Well, you probably cut them down, or you at least prune them heartily. You do something to it because something's not right. Now look, the normal Christian life is a fruitful Christian life. Now, what kind of fruit are we talking about? What are some fruit in the Christian life? What are the fruits in the Christian life? However, that's supposed to be. What's that? Yeah, and you're calling out the what? Fruit of the Spirit. Okay, the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, all those things. Okay? Those things obviously will occur. What else is the fruit of the Word of God? Okay, you're going to win others. You're going to be a soul winner, right? You're going to reproduce yourself. Believers should reproduce believers. Okay? So, fruit of the Spirit, believers, what else? Service, undoubtedly. How about the praise of our lips? A righteous life. All of those things, folks, are fruit of the Spirit. The Lord saved you. He said, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and do what? Bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Folks, this is an obvious benefit of reading and studying and applying God's word. We saw in Psalm chapter 1, this is so clear. If you separate yourself from evil, and then in verse 2, you meditate upon the word of God, it says that he should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Now, look, folks, we get awfully satisfied with an unfruitful Christian life. Now, folks, that should not be, I'm afraid it is the norm. It should not be the norm. Biblically, it is not the norm. Are you producing fruit in your Christian life? I'm not saying, are you a fruit? Okay, some of you might be. Are you producing fruit? I mean, can you look at your life and see that God is changing you to become more like the Lord Jesus Christ? Can you look at your life and see people that you are influencing for Christ and producing other Christians? Can you look at your life and see the fruit of a right life and right living? Now, you say, well, I can't see that. Okay, I'll guarantee something right here. That means you're not in this book reading it, applying it, and allowing it to change you. Because if you do that, you're going to be fruitful. All right. So, we've already seen those two. Let's look at the third one. Back in Colossians chapter 1. Not only will you please God, you'll have a walk that pleases God, you'll be fruitful. Now, this one's a little tougher. And increasing in the knowledge of God. Now, this word increasing is the Greek word, and I'm not a Greek scholar, don't pretend to be. But this word, if you have the right Bible software, you can do this yourself, is translated differently in other passages of Scripture. Now, I'm going to read a couple of verses. You tell me how the word increaseth is translated in this verse. In Matthew 6:28, and why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Grow. Very good. Luke 2:40, the same thing. And the child grew, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom. The grace of God was upon him. The word could easily be translated grow. All right? Now, Paul's prayer is for them to be filled with the knowledge of his will. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense for him to come along now and say, oh, and that you'll grow in your knowledge of God. Same thing. Again, are you thinking with me? Is your mind engaged? All right. A.T. Robertson, who is a great Bible scholar of the early 1900s, wrote a book called New Testament Word Pictures, I think. And in this, he says that the verb is instrumental. Now, I know that doesn't mean a whole lot to you. It didn't mean a whole lot to me. But the point is, the passage could be translated, by means of the full knowledge of God, you're growing by the knowledge of God. All right, so what does all that mean? Okay, forget all that. Here's what it means. When you read God's word and you get the principles and the truth out of it, what's going to happen to you? You're going to grow. You're going to grow. You say, I am growing. I'm talking about spiritual, okay, not physically. You're going to grow spiritually. Now, again, folks, this is the normal Christian life, to grow. In 2 Peter 3:18, it says, but grow in grace, in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, look, if you have a child who is not growing, say you have a five-year-old, and he is not growing. He is not getting taller. He's not getting in his weight. What do you do? Take him to the doctor. There's something wrong. Now, many of you remember my daughter Sarah. And when Sarah was a child, she was skin and bones. I mean, she was skin. Her arms were like that. You know, it was amazing. In fact, it's funny, when I visited Johnny's mom in the nursing home, she said, well, how's that old Sarah? Did she ever gain any weight? You know, of course, it's been 25 years, you know. And I remember Julie used to give us a hard time. Aren't you feeding that girl? What are you feeding? What's wrong with that girl? You know, very fine, what's going on? You know, and she was skinny. I mean, she really was. I mean, she looked like an Ethiopian or something. You know, hadn't eaten for all that. One of these dying of starvation. And there was concern. Of course, we took her to the doctor and had her normal checkups. And then she was like, you know, in the bottom percentile or something. But she was fine. But there was concern because, oh, wow, you know, they're not growing. Now look, it's interesting. When somebody's not growing, what's the first thing they check? They're going to check the obvious, their diet. Now, if you're not growing as a believer, what's your problem? Your diet. Now, I'm not talking about pizza and Pepsi and all that stuff. I'm talking about the Word of God. Now, look, if your diet is 5 hours of TV a day, I got to watch my family, you know, as the stomach turns, you know, and all these great shows. And you know, that's all you do. All you do is you listen to the world's music. You know, you're on a steady diet of rock music or country western music. You heard what happened when they played that country western music backwards. Guy got his truck back, got his wife back. Well, anyway, that's all some of you are going to remember. You don't remember anything less. Folks, look, if you will spend time in the Word of God every day and get the truth and apply it, you will grow. It's guaranteed. You'll grow spiritually. Some of us have been saved for 5 and 10 and 15 and 20 and 25 years, and spiritually, we haven't grown a bit. How many of you ever have kids and you had a doorpost maybe down your basement or somewhere, and you'd have your kids back up to it, and you know, you'd put a line on their head? How many have done that? Yeah, put your line on the head, and put the date, you know, and look, some of you guys, hallelujah, when you were saved, you can mark the doorpost right here. And you've been saved for 20 years, and whoa, I'm way up here now. That shouldn't be. There ought to be spiritual growth, folks. And it's not normal if you're not growing. And if you're not more like Christ today than when you got saved, you need a spiritual checkup. You got something wrong. And the problem, folks, is the diet. Now, turn to Ephesians chapter 4, back a couple pages. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Now, we're talking about the church and the people the Lord gave to the church to lead the church. And it says, and he gave some apostles, verse 11, some prophets. Now, those are obviously passed on. Some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Now, what is the job? What is the goal of the pastor teacher in the church? Well, it tells you. For the perfecting or the maturing of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying, the building up of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect. Now that's kind of difficult because we think of perfect, we think no flaw. And the idea is mature, all the parts in the right places. A mature person, a mature believer under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. By the way, did you catch that just now? How do you know when you have reached total maturity as a believer? You see in that verse? When you're like Christ. How many have arrived? If your husband raises his hand, smack him down. That's not your... Obviously, none of us have arrived. There's not a person in this room who can say, well, Gary, I'm spiritually mature. I have conquered all the wicked things in my life. I've got it made. I am up here. I mean, you know, Elijah, Moses, me, you know, we're all up on the same plane. Obviously not. So we all got work to do. We've all got work to do. We ought to be growing, and our goal is to be like Christ. The song says it well. Oh, to be like the blessed Redeemer. Is that your heart's cry? Oh, to be like thee. Now, look, you can get under conviction in service and say, oh, boy, I got to change. I got to become more like Christ. I'm going forward. I'm going to go, and I'm going to get in the altar, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask the Lord to forgive me, and help me to be like him, and this could be great. Did that just make you like Christ? Wouldn't it be nice if it was that way? It's like a diet, you know. I'll give you this one diet pill, and in 5 days, you'll be to your normal weight. That's all there is to it. Don't have to change your eating. Have you heard that commercial on TV or on the radio? Don't have to change any habits. Just take this pill, and you'll be so good. That's how we want to be as believers. Oh, I'm just going to go forward in the service. I'll make a decision, and then I'll be spiritually mature. Now, you do need to make decisions, but the decision is to change the way you live and to get in God's Word every day and to meditate on God's Word and allow it to change you. But it's a tough, ongoing, day-by-day process of leading us to growth. 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. Can it be any clearer than that? You feed a baby its milk when it's a newborn and it grows. You don't feed it its milk, it doesn't grow. Boy, that's... And he said, look, just like that as believers, to take the word of God, you grow. You don't take, you don't grow. Well, that's rocket science. I get paid to do this. Isn't that amazing? That's deep stuff. It's that clear, folks. What you eat spiritually will determine how you grow spiritually. It's that simple. That simple. So, what's your diet like? Now, I can tell. It's interesting. You know what? I can kind of look at you right now. Some of you, I can tell what your diets are like. Big Mac, water fries, milkshake. You eat like that long enough, we can tell what you're eating. You know what else? I spend enough time with you, I can tell what your spiritual diet is too. I just have to watch how you react to circumstances, how you react to other people, what you say, what you do. Without ever knowing how much time you spend in God's Word, I can figure it out. And so can you. When I'm a jerk at home, you know the problem? You say, well, you're just a jerk. That's the prize is that those deacons. Spending time with the pastor, that's a problem. What's the problem? No, the problem is I haven't spent my time in the book and allowed it to change me and transform me. See? And the same is true of you. All right? Spend time in the Word of God, you're going to grow. Oh, I got two more. I got to hurry. Here we go. Back in Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. There's three. We've got two more. Verse 11. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. Now, this is amazing. This is amazing. Now, by the way, that word strengthened is the word dunamos. What English words do we get from that? Dynamite? What else? Dynamo? Very good. David Rush just said that. That's impressive, son. Dynamic. That's good. Now, the great thing about that... Hallelujah. The great thing about this word, folks, it's in the present tense. And the Lord, as you spend time in this book applying it and studying it, you will be strengthened. You will have the dynamo, David Rush, the dynamic. We put a big D in his chest, Big Dave, the dynamo. You're going to have strength. Now, here's the great thing. It is not just human strength. I mean, look at the verse. Look back at verse 11. Strength with all might according to what? His glorious power. Now, what if the verse said, God's going to strengthen you by your power? Well, our power is finite. That's no good. He said, look, when God strengthens you, he strengthens you with his glorious power. Now, what's his power like? Well, in Psalms it says God does what he wants to do. God made it all. He sustains it all. There's some power there, folks. And by the way, it's interesting. The word for his power in this verse is not the same word. It is only used in the Word of God when describing God's power, because his power is totally different than our power. It's often translated, or sometimes translated, dominion. What is God's dominion? Well, he's in dominion over everything. We talked about his faithfulness on Wednesday night and used the verse where it talks about that the whole, everything in creation is a slave to him. The planets are slaves to God. He tells them where to go and what to do. The stars, everything. That's his power. Now look, folks, when you're going through a trial or a difficulty, what do you need? Wow, you need his power. Now, if God's power is infinite, can there be anything in your life that you're going through that his power cannot get you through? Does that make sense to you? No. Is there anything more powerful than God? No. Now, what a great truth, folks. As you get in God's Word, and as you properly apply it in your life, you will receive supernatural strength. That's amazing to me. It's amazing to me. Strength that is great enough for any trial. Strength that is great enough for any temptation or test. There's enough. That's why the Lord says to Paul, "My grace is sufficient enough for you." Do you need strength? Now let's be honest. When we need strength, what do we typically do? Pray. That's exactly right. We pray and ask for it. Nothing wrong with that. But you know what? Here's the source. He said, look, if you will get in God's Word and read it and meditate on it and apply it, you will be strengthened according to His glorious power. Aren't these some great benefits? Hallelujah. Why in the world don't we do what we ought to do? Great benefit. One more and we'll be done. Colossians chapter 1 and end of verse 11. Strengthened with all might according to His glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Now, this word patience is the word that means to remain under. You know, when your pressure's on you, you know, and to really, the idea is endurance. This long endurance, and he goes and talk about long suffering. This is that endurance that doesn't retaliate. Now look, when you know the character of God and the promises of God that you have learned when you get the knowledge, what are they going to do when you go through a trial? They're going to help you endure. They're going to help you make it through. I mean, what a thing to know, folks, that if you know, and we've been talking about this in our lessons now for some time, that when you're going through a trial, remember that God is in control, that God is good, has a good plan for your life. See, when you go through a trial, those promises of God will help you to endure, to keep going. And by the way, before you say, well, yeah, I'm keeping going, you know, it's hard, it's tough. Did you notice the word here? Look back in verse 11. In all patience and long suffering with, well, I'm going through a trial and I'm still going on and I don't know if I'm going to make it. You know, being a Christian is so hard, but I'm going to keep. That's not what it's talking about. Paul and Silas had just been beaten, had been thrown in jail for really doing good. And they're singing down the prison. What are they singing? Did you see him down there? Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. You think? Now, let me ask you a question. If they'd been singing that when God sent the earthquake and the jailer came in, would he have said, what must I do to be saved? He would have said, boy, whatever you got, I don't want. You know? Isn't that amazing? We can have joyous endurance knowing the promises of God. Think about the guys named Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. You know those three guys? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Just thought I'd throw you a curveball there. Give them their Hebrew names instead of these Babylonian names. When they were faced with the fiery furnace, what was their response? What'd they say? Nebuchadnezzar said, oh, you guys are burning up, man. I'm going to throw you in there. You're going down. And they said, well, wait a minute. Number one, if God wants to deliver us, He can. And if He doesn't, that's all right too. Isn't that great? Now look, how could they respond that way? You know, we would run out and buy fire insurance, you know, just something this ain't looking good, boys. We're going. How could they respond that way? Because they knew God. They knew the promises of God. They knew the power of God. They didn't just say, well, boys, we're going to be okay because last year we read through the Pentateuch. You know, we read our scrolls. We'll be all right. See? No, they knew the Word of God. They knew the power of God. They knew the character of God. They knew the person of God. That doesn't come from a cursory reading of God's Word. And when the trial came, when the fire came, they said, we're okay. It could be all right. It could be all right. You see, folks, when you get in the Word of God and you meditate on it and you master it, there's some great benefits. By the way, I think probably Paul and Silas were singing, to God be the glory, great things he hath done. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I tell you what, whatever they sang, it had a great influence on the jailer and the prisoners, didn't it? Sure did. Oh, by the way, just as an afterthought, when you're going through a trial and the Word of God helps you to have joyous endurance, do you think that will affect like that child right now? Pray for the nursery workers. They need some joyous endurance. What do you think your coworker, how will they respond when they see the joyous endurance of the believer? How will your family respond when they see the joyous endurance in the trial? They say, you know what? He has got something that is real. She has got something that is real. And just like Paul and Silas's joyous endurance had a great influence on that jailer and on those other prisoners, your life will too. And it doesn't come from saying, okay, it's all right, I don't care what happens, I'm going to be happy, that's all right, you know, take a few pills, and okay, I'll be happy, it's going to be okay, no matter what. No, it doesn't happen that way, folks. It comes from getting in this book, finding the truth, the principles, applying it, and letting it change your life. Five great benefits. Wow. Do you want to please the Lord? Do you want to grow in your Christian life? Do you want to have endurance, joyful endurance? Do you want to have the strength that you need to make through the trial? It's all wrapped up right here, folks. According to Paul, he said, I want you to be filled with the knowledge of God, in understanding and wisdom. And when you properly apply this book, it'll change your life and you'll get those five benefits. I want them. I want them. We can have them. We can have them if we'll do what we ought to do in this book. It's that important. Okay? Now, let me mention next Sunday, since I forgot to do that. I know Pastor will too. We will not meet here next Sunday at 10 o'clock. We'll be in the auditorium for a combined service run from 10 to 11:30. And then we're going to be eating, if it doesn't rain, on the grounds outside. If it does rain, we'll be eating inside, which is a little more exciting, but it can't be done. Let me encourage you about this. How many of you know someone that lives locally who does not go to church or they are not saved? You know someone locally, they don't go to church, they're not saved. All right. This is a great Sunday to invite them to come. Pastor's going to give a clear salvation message. We're going to be doing some special things in the service. Some of those will be really exciting, I think, for you, that you'll see next week. But let me just encourage you. Just think, there's probably around 100 of us here today. Just think, if everybody here brought one person next Sunday. Now, I'm not much of a mathematician, but I think if everybody brought one, we'd have 200. Pretty simple, isn't it? What will you do for the Lord next week? Let me encourage you. Get busy. Do something. Get someone. Just invite them out and say, look, man, we're going to even feed you. We're going to have dinner on the ground. This is going to be great. And we're even going to have some picking and grinning while they eat. So we're going to have a great time. So invite them to come out. Let's do all we can to reach people for Christ this week. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for your word. I am so excited about the Word of God, what it can do for us. And Lord, I need those things. Lord, I cannot please you through my own effort. I cannot grow on my own spiritually. Lord, I cannot be strengthened. I cannot joyfully endure on my own. I need those things, Lord. And I pray that you'd help all of us this week to dig into the book, to find the truth, the principles, and then apply it to our lives so our lives will change and be what they ought to be. Lord, we're a needy people. We need help from heaven. And I pray you just do a work in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.